The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome in on this Tuesday. We appreciate all of you being a part of the program. We feel like we have a pretty good show on tap, especially at the beginning. And we'll get to your phone calls as well as tell you what is currently going on right now, as there are a few headlines to share with. And how about some juice from the Hogs? And they've had an interesting run under Sam Pittman, exceeding expectations last year, a little bit of turmoil at times, but Coach Sam Pittman joins us. And Coach, I hope you and Jamie had a great Easter weekend. I know the game's coming up. We're really happy to have you on board.
It's good to see you too, buddy. And you're right. It was a little bit of turmoil going on last year. We're trying to slow that down a little bit.
Yeah, Coach, I'm a writer by trade, and I that's the best I could do. I didn't want to. I was getting too close to the truth if I went beyond turmoil. But I know that's behind you now. And how do you put just an utterly bizarre season in the rearview mirror? What's the magic cure for that?
Well, I think what really helped us was the bowl win. I mean, I think it did. A lot of those kids that played in that bowl, because, you know, we had a lot of opt-outs and things of that nature. I think we went in with seven starters out, and then Rocket and Tyquese Crawford got hurt. But we found a way to win the game, and most of those guys are back on the team now. I think it started then, Paul, to be perfectly honest with you. And then we made some coaching changes. You know, I'm very happy for Coach Odom and everybody who got jobs and those things. But we made some coaching changes, and the portal went crazy one way and the other. And I, if you'd have told me we would be today where we were at the end of November, I'd say, man, I hope so. But I really like our team. We've had 11 really physical practices, and I like my new coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, you got two new coordinators, and sometimes people make a lot of that, Coach. But in your case, how do you adapt without making too many changes that frighten everybody?
Well, I think it was frightening, Paul, to be honest with you, before the rule changes, where you can meet more now with the kids, you can have more walkthroughs. Summer has changed, certainly, where you can do more with the kids. So I think it probably was a bigger deal back then. I think now the rules have allowed. They see college world changing with the portal for the kids. And a lot, you'll lose a lot of coaches each year, it seems like. And I think the rules have changed where it's not as big a deal as what it might have been in the past. And, of course, I knew Dan Enos. I worked for him in 2015. And was able to get him back. And then when I interviewed Travis Williams, when I got done, I called the athletic director. I said, this is it. This is a guy. Because he was so knowledgeable and such an energetic guy. And he's been that way ever since he's been here.
We're talking to Sam Pittman. The spring game is this weekend. And Coach, everybody looks at spring games with a different view. What is yours? What do you hope to accomplish?
We're really looking at it, Paul, as just another scrimmage. We are going to scrimmage. We're going to scrimmage format that we did 2 weeks ago. And to be perfectly honest with you, I made a big mistake last year in that everything was stud. We didn't tackle to the ground. We had a veteran team. And, I mean, if you want a physical football team, to me, you go practice physical and you tackle and you do things that you're going to do in a game. And I made that mistake a year ago. I felt like it cost us, and I'm not about to make it again. But the spring game will be a scrimmage, and it'll be a rock 'em, sock 'em robots, I hope. That's what we're looking for. We're trying to get the physicality back in our program.
KJ Jefferson's back, and I know that it has to please you. You know, he had some fantastic moments, and you know, many look at him as perhaps at the top of the food chain when it comes to quarterbacks in the SEC. What do you expect out of him this year?
I really like how him and Coach Enos have bonded. I really do. You know, Dan's coached a lot of fine quarterbacks and done a nice job with them. I was concerned about how that would work out as well, you know, because ever since KJ's been here, he's been with Coach Briles, who did a nice job with him too. But he and Enos have bonded. I think Dan is an excellent coach, and I think that KJ will be better prepared in the NFL, better prepared to be a leader on our program, in our program, than what he would be prior to. And he's a senior, so I think he's taking all that to heart and taking that challenge.
Coach, you're entering your fourth season, and I think everyone agrees the program is in a really good spot. But how do you evaluate these 3 years? And COVID being part of it makes it a little more problematic. But where is this program?
Well, I think the first year, I thought we did some nice things. We played most everybody. We participated well with most everybody, won some games. The second year, winning 9, getting in the top 10. Last year, let's be honest, I mean, it was disappointing for all of us to win 7 games whenever we felt like we could challenge for the West title, and we ended up 3-5 in the league. Certainly disappointing. But like I said before, to be where we are right now after that season, I really am excited about who we have on the team and who we have coaching the team. Very, very excited about the spring game coming up and next season.
Coach, I mean, you talk about a record, and you know, most of those, I mean, I can think of 2 or 3 just off the top of my head where you're in the game and a kick goes the wrong way or a play goes the wrong way. And that really, I mean, that's the SEC. I know that's a foregone statement to make. But how do you move past a miscue here and a miscue there to get to where you want this program to be and where fans expect it to be?
Well, I think it's probably situational football, Paul. I mean, we lost 4 games by a total of 9 points. And I can tell you right now, 3 of the 4 were inside the red zone where we either fumbled the ball or we didn't make a touchdown or missed a field goal, whatever it may be. Those things right there, we've got to really, which we have, harped on it, practice it. We're doing more situational football than what I've ever done in the spring. Basically, it is building confidence. Well, you have to build confidence in the kids that we're going to call the correct play and they're going to execute it the right way because we are prepared and ready to go. Certainly, we've had a lot of that in the spring, and I think we'll be much better at it. I think our kids think we'll be much better in those situations.
Let's talk about the calendar. Spring ends, and in years past, this would be a time to exhale a little bit. But with the new rules, you get back into the portal business. What does it look like once this game is in the book Saturday for you and your staff?
I don't know when you can. I don't know when you can breathe anymore. You know, obviously, portal opens up on the 15th. Paul, we have 8 scholarships, so we certainly will be active in the portal. And that's not saying anything negative towards our team, but when you have 8, you'd rather play with 85 than 77. And so we're certainly looking for certain positions and things of that nature. But where May, you know, your coaches went out in the spring, and the only thing negative was the coach might want to call a meeting us on Saturday to find out who you found in the recruiting trail. Now it's you're going to have officials, you're going to have visits, and they never stop. So for us, we're going to try to clean up our own team, make sure we're okay in the portal the first week, just next week after the spring game. We're going to stay in, and then we'll be out on the road. But I certainly feel like we'll have OVs throughout the end of April and probably all the way through May.
You laughed a minute ago about exhaling. Is there a point where you do feel comfortable saying, okay, we can, I mean, there used to be almost a standardized June sometime, everything shut down for a couple of weeks. I'm assuming that doesn't happen anymore.
Well, it doesn't like it used to for spring ball, which, you know, after spring ball, that was kind of a down period. Kids weren't leaving. Nobody was OVing. Coaches were out in spring recruiting. No official visits and all those things. And now your last weekend in June after that's over. I think it's the 24th, 25th, somewhere in that area. Then you could kind of exhale. Obviously, the portals close at that time. You've had your 24s in on their OVs, and hopefully you've got a whole bunch of them committed and all that. And you could get, you know, 3 or 4 weeks where you obviously are recruiting, but yet not in the office, because our assistant coaches, they need some time off. If they're working like we want them to work, at some point they need to exhale, and hopefully we'll be able to do that at the end of June in the first 3 weeks of July.
Obviously, all head coaches at some point were assistants, but you've been one more recently. Does that help you understand what the rest of your crew is going through? And I know you can't be an easy boss. That's not who you are. But how do you help manage that part of it? Because the psychological part for coaches is a big thing nowadays.
You know, I think if we're prepared and we work each day, there's plenty of time. We don't need to be up here till midnight. We don't need to be, we do not meet after practice as a staff during spring ball. I mean, we don't practice the next day. We've got time to come in the morning. I think as an assistant coach, I took everything that, you know, I liked from different places I've been. I took everything I didn't. I took things that I thought might be a waste of time. I don't want to waste our guys' time. If we got time, I want to be recruiting. And so I took all those things, Paul. Hopefully it has helped me be a more understanding and being a guy time conscious with our staff. Because if not, I think we can burn these guys out. But if they're doing the right thing, and we have to assume that we've hired the right coaches and they're working hard. And if that's the case, then at some point we've got to let them go home. They've got families. They've got another life out there as well.
Coach, it's always such a pleasure to see you, even through the screen. And hope to see you in person soon. I have a feeling we will. Appreciate you coming on.
I'll see you in Destin, my friend, if not before. I appreciate you.
I can't wait. Thank you very much, Coach. We appreciate Coach Sam Pittman, always gracious with his time. And we have a lot happening on the program today. Is there a Mike Griffith warning out? There is. Watch out. Pete Thamel will also join us. We have quite a bit to do today, and we will come back with much more.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We have a lot of guests. We mentioned Griff and Pete Thamel. Let's get to some headlines. Perhaps you have missed. Aaliyah Boston went number one. That's a common occurrence for South Carolina. Well done, Aaliyah. Jim Phillips has a new deal. Rumored to be going to the Big Ten, he now has 3 more years on his new tenure at the ACC commissioner, about to move the headquarters. Jim Phillips now can afford a home. The latest mock has Bryce number one. How about Anthony? I mean, who would have guessed this if you were spitballing that the 3 top quarterbacks in the draft, from the SEC that is, would be Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, and Will Levis. C.J. Stroud is number 2 from Ohio State, but since we don't recognize the Big Ten on this show, those are your top 3 quarterbacks. Hendon Hooker sneaking in. We had Hendon on the other day, seems like.
That's right.
Was it?
Last week.
And Cliff Kingsbury, recently dethroned in Arizona. He was going to take the year off. Now he's going to spend the year doing what no man can possibly do and make Caleb Williams any better. But Cliff is going to try. Congratulations, Cliff. We know you don't need the money since Arizona paid you to go away. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Archie is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I want to talk about Texas and Oklahoma when they joined the SEC.
Okay.
When Texas and Oklahoma joined the SEC conference, I heard last year when Alabama played Texas, hey, Paul, it's...
Archie, just disregard what you're hearing on the TV and talk to me in the phone, okay?
Last year when Alabama played Texas, I heard Saban talk about in the press conference that Texas would have been midway up to the standings about halfway through the year or something like that. How's that going to affect the rest of the SEC teams? Are they going to move Alabama Auburn to the SEC East?
No. Okay, let me state this again, and I beg of all of you to pay attention here. I was talking to these people yesterday. I said, we get this question every day, and there'll be a time next year when we don't get it anymore. And here's the question: will they move somebody to the East or West? You know the answer, Randy.
There will be no East or West.
Thank you, class.
Yes.
Divisions will be going bye-bye. It will. Randy's trying to suck up to the teacher. No East, no West. Everyone will be in the same division. The SEC will pick the top 2 teams, just like everybody else is doing it these days. Checking in with Trey in Arkansas. Hello, Trey.
How are you doing today, Paul?
We are doing great, Trey. How are you?
Good. I was wanting to know, what is your biggest question for Arkansas heading out of spring, and how far do you think they can go? I think they can win 8 games if the defense is what they're saying it is.
I think that was interesting to hear what Coach said about making the changes on the staff. And you look at schedule, and we have it up, Trey, and I see a pretty good – I see the non-conference games all going to Arkansas. That BYU game is the only tricky one. You got to watch out for that, but I think Arkansas can win that game at home. I think Arkansas can pretty much beat anybody at home. Have to beat A&M, a must win. And then it's just a matter of negotiating. At Florida, a little tricky, but I think that's a win. I think you win the last 3, last 4, last 5. I see 1 loss. I see 2 losses. I see 3 losses. Yeah, I think 8 is very doable. I like this team, and I like the chances. Thank you very much. I especially think Arkansas will beat. Will they beat Texas A&M this year or not, Matt?
I don't think we're losing Arkansas though, and I agree with you. Divisions are going hasta vista, baby. But I just wanted to talk to you about the spring games at A&M as well. Paul, what do you want to see at A&M? with everybody saying we're going to be better this year, but how much better do you think you're going to be, in your opinion, Paul?
Significantly better. I know everyone's trying to make a big deal about Bobby Petrino. Bobby Petrino is a plus. I think A&M has one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC, and I think it's a big bounce back here.
Okay, but who do you think wins the job, Max Johnson or Connor Wingman?
No, I don't think it'll be close. I think Wegman's going to win the job.
Okay, I got one more question for you. This isn't asking to do with A&M at all. How do you think Florida State or Miami's going to do in the ACC? You think they're going to win it, or it's going to be Clemson?
I'm leaning towards Florida State. Alden is up next in Starkville. Hello, Alden.
Mr. Feinbaum, how you doing today?
Very well.
Look, I'm not here to talk about, you know, getting rid of divisions, whatever. I'm here to talk about a more pressing sports matter. And it is the inaugural Starkville Derby in the center of the Cotton District on May 6th. We are having over 150 wiener dogs racing to figure out who will be top dog, and it's all to raise money for the Humane Shelter. And I would love to have you there.
Well, I tell you what, my very first dog as a kid was a miniature dachshund, and you know, I mean, everybody's first dog is pretty important, but I still remember the dog, and I've always been partial, so I would be more than happy to be to help officiate the wiener run.
Hey, Paul.
I put a lot of mustard on those wieners.
Hey, you don't want to scare the racers now. You know, they might get scared a little bit here in hot dog talk. But, yeah, it's going to be a huge event. We're shutting down University Drive. We have people flying in from Colorado.
So what's the cause here?
Yeah, so we're raising money for Oktibbeha County Humane. That's our local humane shelter.
Okay.
I was just sitting at Two Brothers one night, looked down the street and said it would be hilarious if we shut down and raced wiener dogs for a good cause. Reached out to my dachshund. He gave me a paw up, and we were on the way. But, we're having people from all over the country come. It's same weekend as the Mississippi State-Arkansas baseball game that night. So get the day kicked off with the Derby and head over to the dude. So it'll be a great time.
Alden, count me in. You want spicy mustard or just regular? We'll take a short break. You can give us a ring right now at 855-242-7285.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. We are here on a Tuesday, and we'll get back to your phone calls in just a moment at 855-242-7285. Just had Sam Pittman on. He wins 9 games after Arkansas really tanks for a number of years. Then it slips back last year. And it's just, you know, is that program set now as an upper echelon program? And really, I think as you think about it, that's the difficulty of the SEC. It's really not. I mean, we make so much out of Alabama and LSU and A&M trying to stay up there and Georgia, but it's really right after that where it's almost impossible. It's trench warfare every weekend. And you heard what Pittman said. He lost 9 games by 4 losses. What he also said was the bowl game. Remember that bowl game? Wasn't that the game that Arkansas had the big lead, then they blew the lead, and then they pulled the game out? Is a bowl game really that important at the end? It seems like it is. In every one of, at least since 2014, in every one of Nick Saban's seasons, when even when things haven't gone perfectly, such as the 19 season that had the loss to Auburn and LSU in the middle, they were able to win the bowl game convincingly. What did they do this year? They won the bowl game convincingly. Which brings me to the question, these bowl games, so many of them are so irrelevant. However, it's like schools can use them as a springboard. Do you think that makes any sense? I mean, nobody cared about that Arkansas bowl game outside of Arkansas and the team they were playing. And Alabama's who were they playing? Kansas. I mean, it was not an important bowl game, but it became an important bowl game. Alabama was, you know, playing a Big 12 team in the Sugar Bowl, a good team, by the way, that played terribly that day, and they made a lot out of it. So I wonder, maybe next December we should not be belittling these bowl games so much. Maybe they really do matter. Because, I mean, Pittman used that as his impetus behind going into the new season. Anyway, so where are we? We're heading into, for most schools, the final week of spring practice. Has anything really happened in spring?
No.
I mean, you had a couple of injuries, but most, I mean, what did we learn from the Auburn game? I know you probably talked about it a little bit yesterday while I was gone. What did we learn? Do we have any more idea who the quarterback's going to be? You got Florida coming up. Do we know anything about Florida?
No.
Do we had a guy on the other day. We asked a reporter, what do we know about Alabama's quarterback situation? Guy said, they're not telling us anything. I mean, they're not telling us anything. So are we to believe that things are going well, or are we to believe whatever they tell us to believe? These are the spring games coming up this weekend, and there are a lot of them. What intrigues you about these games? I don't know about you, but it's been somewhat of a ho-hum spring. And why is it a ho-hum spring? I'll tell you why. You heard it from Sam Pittman there. These games don't matter. These games do not matter anymore. They're scrimmages. They are what the coaches want them to be. And I thought it was interesting when we had Hugh Freeze on here on Friday, and he talked about this idea to play other schools. Would you want to see real games on a Saturday in April?
No.
Or I wouldn't. I'm no more interested in a matchup with an inferior team than I am in the actual scrimmage. At least in the scrimmage, you do what you want to do. You situation. I mean, how many times do you hear Sam Pittman say situational football? That's how you get better. Why waste time preparing against a bunch of hungry people from down the road, you know, driving into your stadium in a big old yellow school bus? I don't mean to be dismissive of the little guy. I mean, I understand it's important, but I'm not going to stop what I'm doing on Saturday and go, oh, okay, Arkansas is playing Arkansas Pine Bluff in a football game. You really want to see that game?
No.
I don't. You want to see Auburn and Troy? I mean, Troy's a legitimate program, might be more attractive than, but most of these games are not going to be that attractive. And what to me, the most important thing for spring is whatever the head coach wants it to be. He's trying to figure out certain things. Let him and his staff figure that out without having to, okay, we got to sell a few more tickets here to South Carolina and the Citadel. Ooh, bad example. Yeah. Bad example. This, you know what's a bad example? The Citadel beat South Carolina the last time they played. Let's get some phone calls in here at 855-242-7285. Irwin starts us off. Irvin.
It's Irvin, Paul. How are you?
Irvin? I am great.
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. Go right ahead.
Good. I don't know where were you yesterday. I came in on the tail end of it, but please don't get another Alabama commentator, whatever, to take your place anymore. All he did was talk about Alabama, and I got tired of it. I'm sick of it. Next time you take some time off, get a Georgia. Get somebody that's going to talk about the Georgia Bulldogs, please.
Well, Irvin, I'll see what I can do. Yeah, where was I? I was actually in Memphis yesterday. Speaking to the Memphis Touchdown Club, Randall, a lot of great friends of the show there. A lot of Ole Miss you go someplace and you hang around a bunch of people at a dinner meeting, and a lot of optimism from Ole Miss. A guy told me, I said, so what do you expect as an Ole Miss fan? He said, happy with 8 wins. Ran into an Alabama fan. Actually, one took me to the airport this morning. They're not happy with 8 wins. No. Arkansas fan there. They would like improvement. Huh? Mississippi State fans are just, they feel good about what Zach Arnett has taken over. I mean, I'm giving you the fan version. Mm-hmm. Tennessee fans, a lot of them there in Memphis, they feel good. They're back. They are back. A lot of University of Memphis chatter. I won't waste your time on that. Chip is up next in Georgia. Go right ahead.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how you doing today, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
In listening to some of the previous comments from the show way back, I watch every day, and I enjoy it, by the
Thank
way.
You.
Just want to let you know that. You know, there were a lot of questions about Bryce Young's size and this, that, and other, but now, Mr. Paul, it looks like he might have moved up to be the number one pick. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Georgia fan. You know, I went there, my dad went there, my son went there, and my daddy-in-law played football there. So I got a lot of connections. But as far as Alabama goes, I got to give Bryce his flowers, and I think he should be the top quarterback. And I want your thoughts on that, sir.
You know, Chip, I don't much care, and I know that sounds like a flippant comment, for this reason. It's an individual match to the franchise. I think Bryce Young is the best player. I think he is a standalone player, a generational player. I think C.J. Stroud is extraordinarily good, but it's a matter – I mean, you don't draft just a player. You draft someone for your franchise, and
right,
obviously
right.
The Panthers are an offensive-minded franchise with a former quarterback as the head coach. So they have to figure out what they want in terms of their philosophy. I frankly think it's Bryce Young. I don't think you would trade away all the choices that they did for C.J. Stroud. I don't think he's worth it. I think Bryce Young is that once-in-a-generation player that can make a big difference.
I just feel like you know, the guy's got the smarts, he's got the arm and this, that, and other. And, you know, as you already well know, there's been some quarterbacks that weren't very tall, from Drew Brees to several others that just have proven themselves. And for some reason,
Chip, does that matter? Does that
this.
Matter anymore? I mean, we're not in a – we don't – teams don't play conventional football anymore. And
yes, sir, that's true.
Yeah, I mean Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, I mean, their size mattered – in those systems, but in where we are right now in college football, you're not. It's not just drop back and throw. I mean, everything is on the move. Everything is in space. Thank you for the call. We head to the break. More of your phone calls when we come back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Quiet afternoon. Let's continue the serenity with Dwayne in Louisiana.
Oh, boy. Hey, Paul Feinbaum, where you were yesterday? Hey, I don't talk to that Roman Harper. I don't like him. I don't like that sucker.
Ho, ho, how can you not like Roman Harper?
I don't like no damn Roman Harper. Hey, I don't like no Alabama. Oh, you do like Alabama people. Hey, you should have told Sam Pittman about that pig. We're going to smoke that pig. We're going to have burnt ends. We're going to make some burnt ends off that pig and baby back ribs and smoke ribs. What you like off that pig? Huh?
Hmm. Spare ribs.
Now, what you like off?
What do you want?
Up, Paul?
What do you want, Randy? Off that spit, pig on the spit.
Give me some shoulder meat.
Shoulder meat.
Hey, Paul. Hey, another thing, Sam Pittman just going to win 7 games. You should have said that. He went from 9 last year to 7 this year. You should have told him that, too. That's what you should have told him. He ain't got nothing over that no more.
Hey, Dwayne. Dwayne. Who died and made LSU king of the universe?
Oh, we kings, baby. We gonna be kings. Hey, I'm telling you. We taking over the SEC.
You've beaten Alabama twice in the last ten years.
In the SEC.
You've won what, 2 out of the last 10? Is that right? 2 out of I don't understand it. I mean, Alabama has lost to LSU since 2011. Alabama has lost to LSU twice. And Dwayne has deemed them the kings of the universe. James is up next in Tennessee. Good afternoon, James.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you for calling.
I just want to call and thank you for your unbiased opinions, what you do with the SEC.
Thank you.
I mean, I played tackling dummy for A&M and Tennessee way back in the day before I went in the military.
Yes, sir.
And I just want to say how much I appreciate you and everything you do. I love your show.
Well,
I'm a first-time caller.
Well, James, thank you.
Thank you
very, very much. What branch were you in?
I was Air Force. I was a rescue jumper.
That's fantastic. Well, listen, we all appreciate what you've done, and thank you for calling. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call, and I appreciate you.
It was our pleasure. You be well. You take care of yourself. Rick is in Houston. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
Very well. Thanks.
So, little comment about yesterday. Don't know if you heard, but the brown noser down there in Tuscaloosa, he's trying to get you out of your seat and get Roman in there full time.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Roman's great, man, but you are too, brother.
What did the snake say yesterday?
Oh, Jesus. What did he not say? he just kept repeating himself about how much better Roman was and how awful you were.
Mm.
You know, the same thing. You know,
I can see yesterday was a day that ended in a Y for him.
It took a lot of guts to call in and run his mouth when you weren't there.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Listen, when people like that criticize you, you take it as a compliment.
Well, you know you must be doing something right.
Yeah. I mean, what you don't want is a guy like that not to pay attention to you, because that means he's obsessed with somebody else.
Yeah. So, hey, on the spring game,
yeah.
I think the interesting thing, and I look back at a few years back when I watched the spring game for Ohio State, and a couple of reasons was I really felt like LSU was in need of a quarterback, and I watched it, and I came away that year, and I said to myself, Joe Burrow is the best quarterback on the Ohio State team, but my God.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.